Blessed Savior, we're thankful that you loved us while we were yet in our sins. God, we pray that somehow you will bring us to a place that we deeply and more assuredly, Lord, appreciate the love that you have shown towards us. Thank you, Father, for the love gift that you gave the human race. We praise you for who you are and for what you have done for us. And Lord, all of these young people, the people that are here tonight, God, open their hearts to what you have for them this evening. Whatever our needs might be, we commit them into the hands of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In your sweet name we ask it. Amen. Well, it's good to be back with you once again. Appreciate the opportunity given, the love and the fellowship that has been extended our way. We value the fellowship of saints of like precious faith. I want to go to Philippians, the second chapter this evening. Philippians, the second chapter. I'm sorry, in the first chapter. We'll get there. Philippians, the first chapter. And reading verse 21. Well, let's back up to verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ might be manifested in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul mentions in one portion of Scripture that he was ready not only to preach the gospel, but to die for it. And like Kevin, I had been in the prison work for nearly 20 years, but I want to just bring one story to your mind tonight, young people, and listen to what I'm saying. There was a young man that I had dealt with, and he came to me, and he was in his early 20s at the federal prison. He knew what I stood for and why I was there, as far as the ministry is concerned. And he came to me and told me that his back hurt him quite a bit, and he asked me to pray for him. We did something that in the federal prison you're not supposed to do, and I laid my hands on him and prayed for him. A couple of days later, the man came back around to me and rejoicing, he said, "You know, my back doesn't hurt anymore." And like I have done with another prisoners in this particular area, I said, "Well, why are you here?" And he broke down and started crying and said, "You know that my daddy was a pastor, and I refused to listen to anything that he had to say, and I wound up here." I want to look tonight along this line of thought: for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. And I'm glad for the Holy Spirit, and this is his responsibility that he convicts us of sin. Now, young people, don't kid yourself. Sin has its wages. It has its price that you'll pay. And I realize that, according to Timothy, that we're living in perilous times. We are. What we see in going around in the world today, and somebody said, "Well, aren't you afraid?" No, I'm not afraid. It points to one thing. Jesus Christ is just about ready to appear. What about your life? What are you going to do with your life? You have no assurance that tomorrow will ever get here. We need education, jobs, and things of this nature. Thank God for that. The Holy Spirit will convict us of sins, and I'm glad, you know, the Word tells us that he will guide us into all truth. This is the most precious, tangible thing that God has left the human race, is the Word of God in itself. You have time for it? Do you read it before you go to school, before you leave home? You make it part of your life? I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You can't imagine. Our little finite minds can't comprehend what God has in store for you once you close your eyes and wake up in his presence. We can't imagine what God has in store for us. But there's a way that you can begin to realize some of the benefits and the blessings that are yours in Christ. The Holy Spirit will reveal the Word of God to us. He compares spiritual things with spiritual. He'll take the deep things of God and reveal them unto us. Thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. To really come to this place like Paul, that for me to live is Christ. We need the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our life. You love him tonight? Amen. Boy, that was weak. Amen. Young people, do you love him tonight? Amen. Do you really care for who he is? Listen, God gave the best that he had to offer when he gave his son for you. And I had a broke down cry this morning as Brother Hawkins was talking about the sin. All the sins that I have committed in my life, you take that and multiply it by millions and millions, the whole world in itself, all of this was placed on the back of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This is the love that he has for you. I like there in the book of Job 22 and 21, the writer said, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Young people, we're living in an age and there's very little peace in the world today. We have it in our backyard in Kansas City. 14 and 15-year-old kids running around in the middle of Kansas City. Police officers are wondering, well, where's mom and daddy? There's no peace in this world. But I'm glad for the peace of God, saints. And all that's going on, I have a peace in my heart because I know Jesus Christ is in charge. He watches over you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. And thank God. And the Word tells us that we are to put on Jesus Christ. Take the Word. Look, the more of the Word of God you take in, you're beginning to put on Christ. You learn about him more and more. And I want to go to Psalms 103 and look at some of the statements made by the psalmist David. It's one of the sweetest psalms. I love them. Love to get up early in the morning and just go through the Psalms and read them one by one. And in Psalms 103 and verse 1, David said, well, hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplication. Jumping down to verse 6, he said, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. My soul thirsteth after thee. But he said, I will stretch forth my hands unto thee. My granddaughter talked me into taking her to a concert down in Kansas City. And she wouldn't tell me what it was all about until we walked in the back doors and got in and sat down. I'm sorry that I did, and I told her I wouldn't take her again. And I don't know how you feel about it, but saying, listen, they had the number one and number two rap singers in the world holding a concert for Christian young people. You couldn't understand what they were saying. And they had the mics up to the mouth and all you hear is just mumbling and grumbling. You couldn't understand a word that they were saying. Somebody said, well, don't you think that glorifies God? No, I don't. No, I don't. We are to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to God. When we got on the inside and you talk about uplifted hands, this is the meaning of the thought here, that stretch forth thy hands, raise them up, and begin to praise him. And the young people were just dancing on the altars and trying to get to these two rap singers and just trying to rip their clothes and get a hold of them. That doesn't glorify God. Why should I lift my hands up and praise him? Why should you, young people? What's God ever done for you? Anybody saved tonight? Now listen, young people, why should I praise him? Because my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? Amen. Praise him because your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise him because God has given you a hope that you never had before until you met Christ face to face. Praise him because God has given you a peace in this world today. Saints, we need the peace of God that passeth understanding. Why should I praise him? You know, the word said that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life and it's not going to be removed. I praise him for that tonight. I'm secure in Jesus Christ. I know whom I have believed. Saints, God is keeping me day by day, and young people, God will take care of you the rest of your life if God tarries that long. We're so close to the coming of Jesus Christ. Why should I praise him? Look at the world today. Why should I not praise him? There's a verse in the book of Hebrews, I believe it is, and somewhat this will... How? Thank you, Lord. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How am I going to escape if I neglect the best that God has for me? I dealt with prisoners for 20 years, and the first 7 years I dealt with the military prisoners. They bring them in every week, and it was sad to my heart. They were 18, 19, and 22-year-old kids that their lives were destroyed because they rejected Jesus Christ. I know I talked to many of them. What are you doing here? I wouldn't listen to mom and daddy. Dishonorable discharge. Their life's destroyed. What about this, young people? Are you ready to say, like Paul, that for me to live is Christ? What is there else in life to live for? If you don't have Christ, you don't have a thing. If we don't have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to teach us the Word of God, we have nothing. But listen, God gave us the best that he had to offer. And God said, now listen, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And saints, he did just that. I wept in private many times as I saw 18, 19, and 20-year-old kids that had nothing to live for anymore. In prison for years and years and years, they made the wrong choice. As this 19-year-old kid in prison, why are you here? Well, my daddy was a preacher, and I didn't like to listen to him. Saint, lift up your hands and praise him. God has given me something that I never had before. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I'm not there yet, but I've been made to sit together in heavenly places with him. One of these days, it does not appear what I'm going to be like, but I'm going to have a glorified body. I'm going to look just exactly like Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I'm hid with Christ in God. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Why should I praise him? Why not praise him? God's Son gave the best that he had to offer. He died that you might live. He took all of your sins and in turn gave you his righteousness. Oh, we dealt with a number. I've got a brother that sins sick. Saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and went into the Marines and came out just as bitter and cold as he can be, and has nothing to do with God. I said, Danny, listen, you're going to lose it all if you don't turn around and give it back to Christ. Oh, he's saved. But saying, listen, Paul not only was ready to preach the gospel, but ready to die for it. But he said, oh, look, I'm ready. I'm pressing forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's something in this life besides salvation. I'm ready to receive Christ as the bridegroom of my soul. What about you, young people? Have you gotten a grip of what God has for you? Abishag, what do you think about Solomon? Oh, he's altogether lovely. There's no spot in him. I would have to look at Christ tonight and say, oh, you're altogether lovely. There's no spot in you. I had nothing until he came on the scene. Yes, I like some. I have one regret as some of the others that I wish that I had turned to God quicker in my life. I joined the Air Force just to get away from God. I wound up in a dump in Japan. When I got there, he was there waiting on me. He said, you can't run away from God. You can't get away from him. God wants your life. And he wants to mold you and make you into something that is pleasing to him. And David said, well, hear me speedily. How many times we get in trouble? Like last night in reading this portion of scripture, and the pastors feel it also, and we had a young son that was in grade school. One time he came home with grade card. We knew he wasn't doing good on some of his grades. And he changed some of the F's and made them to A's. And I don't know how he did it, but he got my wife to, well, write your signature here. And I want to see what it looks like. Well, you know, parents can be dumb sometimes. She wrote the signature, and we didn't realize it, and he took the grade card in the back room and traced that signature on the grade card and took it back to the teacher. All A's, and Mama happy to sign it. The teacher called back just a day or so later and said, Miss Hines, is this your signature? Don't look like your signature. What do you think about the F's that your son got? Oh, well, we didn't see any F's on that grade card. When the son got home, he realized that he was in trouble. Now, son, listen, young people, God is gracious, God's merciful, compassionate on our lives. How many times we just go on our own way and do our own thing, do what we want to do, and we hit a brick wall and we're in trouble and we begin to cry, well, God, hear me speedily. God, answer me right now. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble, God. I've heard a lot of prisoners cry out, oh, listen, what am I going to do? I have no hope. I'm in here. I'm in trouble. God, listen to me. Call out to me, God, and listen. When you call out to God, he will answer you. He's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. You belong to his. You don't realize your soul, how precious it is to God. We read in Romans 8 that even the Holy Spirit, sometimes we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. We have those that are making intercession for you and I. Hear me speedily. But I noticed there in the 8th verse, David said, well, cause me to hear. Well, God, hear me speedily, but cause me to hear. Since what would God speak to your heart tonight if you pray that the same way that David did here? Well, God calls me to hear. Say, listen, be still and listen to the still, small voice of God. What would God say to your heart tonight? Lift up your head and rejoice. He takes all the fear away from us. Be not afraid, because Jesus said, if I go away, I'm going to come again. Listen, God, help me to know what you're going to say to me. Help me to hear. Help me to understand. Give me a heart that will listen to what you have to say. Say, take in the word of God. Listen to what it has to say through the word of God. Oh, God calls me to hear. Calls me to hear. I may not have a second chance. There may not be another time that I will have this opportunity. God, whatever it is, speak to my heart, but help me to know what you have to say to me. Run with patience the race placed before you. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher, the originator of your faith. Saint, listen, we're on a race course to receive Christ as the bridegroom of our soul. God wants yielded vessels. He wants those that will say, here am I, use me. Whatever the cost, God, I'm willing to go with you, God. I don't care what the cost. I want to be in the bride of Christ. What is God speaking to your heart tonight? You may not ever give that call again. I've dealt with young people that, in one particular church especially, 4 or 5 young people walked in and mocked everything that the pastor was saying, sitting in the back seat laughing at him. The pastor gave them the altar call. They all got up and left and walked out. The next night they came back again. The pastor preached his heart out and gave the word of God. They sat back there laughing and almost in a ridiculing attitude towards him as he gave out the word of God. The pastor told him, well, this is your opportunity. Come forward and accept Christ as Savior. Well, no, we don't want that. He said, listen, if you walk out the door tonight, you'll never come back. They got less than a mile away from the church and had a head-on collision, and all five of them were killed instantly. Young people, we can't keep rejecting Jesus Christ and expect there's not going to be a price to pay. I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying God's going to kill you. No, I don't mean that. They were unsaved people, but as the writer said, well, cause me to hear. What do you want me to listen to? Say, listen, he's chipping away in our lives, and there's a sifting going on in the world today, and God wants to mold you and make you into what he wants you to be. He said, you belong to me. But he told Israel, well, you're mine, aren't you? I can do anything I want to with you. But say, listen, God didn't create robots. God wants people that will love him and yield to him and go on with him. Aren't you glad for the grace and mercy of God? For me to live is Christ. God, teach me. Help me to hear what you have to say. But then he went on and said, well, God caused me to know the way wherein I should walk. Caused me to know which way to go. I have a book at the house. It's, I think, about 25 different denominations and what they believe and what they don't believe. How am I going to know? Acquaint yourself with this. Get into the Word of God. Study it. You have godly pastors, godly teachers. Take in the Word of God every time you hear it brought forth. Saying, listen, when you acquaint yourself with this, you'll know truth from error. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to him but by the Father as he draws him. And I'm glad the Lord rejoiced at all that God had given him. You know what God has given him? He given you. You belong to Christ tonight. You belong to him tonight. Cause me to hear what you want me to say, but God, help me to know which way to walk. One portion of the scripture makes this statement, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is the way, walk ye in it. We had a young lady at our church. She was there when we founded the meeting. She said, well, Pastor, why don't you give a long series of blessings on angels? And we grew up together. We lived right next door to each other and went to grade school and high school together, and I let it go in one ear and out the other. The next week she came back again. Well, Pastor, why don't you teach us about angels and what they're doing and what they're for? I said, now, Margaret, now listen. When you get into this and know everything that there is to know about Christ, angels will, they'll have their place. Learn what you can about Jesus Christ and quit worrying about angels. The angels of God, they're encamped around about those that fear him. But if you want to know something, saint, get into the Word of God. What does this have to say about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? This is my blueprint. This is my blueprint. It'll take me through the valley. It'll take me through the testing. It'll take me through the trials. It'll take me through sickness. It'll take me through sorrow. When I have no sorrow, here's my hope. When I'm sick, here's my healer. When I need comfort, well, he's my comfort. Oh, Saint, teach me the way when I should go. When I stumble, he don't kick me down. Saint, he picks me up and sets me back on the solid rock and shows me the way to go. Oh, listen, go to him tonight. Put your faith and trust in Christ. I've got to be careful. My doctor told me, well, you're too old to leap and jump up and down and have fun. My wife told my doctor, said, well, you don't know my husband. Ken said, was 51 last night, mentioned he's age 51. Well, I'm 76, pushing 77. Saint, listen, there's no time to quit. There's no time to quit. Oh, thank God, this is the way, walk ye in it. Show me which way to go. Deliver me. I like that statement. David said, I flee to thee to hide me. I flee to thee to hide me. I read a story that there were those that were, true story in this magazine, that were fearful that the world was coming to an end. Both the parents quit their jobs and they had a place in the mountain and they bought all the groceries they could get their hands on and went to the mountain to hide out. I don't know if they're still there or not. But Saints, I like what David said, I will run to thee and hide me. I will run to him and hide me. Oh, thank God for that hiding place that we have in Christ. And David said, well, teach me thy will. Teach me thy will. I've dealt with a couple that, well, I can't really yield to God. He might send me to Korea. God can use you just exactly where you're at. He wants a yielded vessel unto honor. God wants you right exactly where you're at. He's not going to send you overseas someplace. He did me and gave me a great lesson on that. I worked with the missionaries in Japan for about a year. But I came back grateful for what I have in Christ Jesus. Now, young people, I dealt with an area that nearly 10,000 kids running the streets that didn't know who mom and daddy was. When I worked with the missionaries in Tokyo, Japan, over 10,000 kids that didn't know. And I might say my heart was thrilled when I saw so many adults come to the altar last night and worship God. Parents, listen, grab them, love them, lead them in the way that they should go. Train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. This is God's precious word. Oh, we all need to be taught to do his will, but David said, well, God, lead me. God, lead me. You know where you're going tonight, young people? When David made the statement, well, God delivered me, in the Hebrew, it says, well, snatch me away. Snatch me away. And I thought of that man, Enoch. I want to talk to him when I see him. Had a love relationship with God. The word said one day that he was just walking along, minding his own business. Maybe just down the street, maybe going back to his house and what have you. But as he walked along, just going his own merry way, suddenly he was not, because God took him. God snatched him away and said, listen, we want to be in the bride of Christ, but one of these days there's going to be a snatching away and a group of people, like, hallelujah, they're going to be gone, and there's going to be those that are left behind because they have not yielded to Jesus Christ. There's going to be a snatching away. We need to wake up. Paul said, it's high time to awaken out of sleep, for now is your salvation nearer than when you first believed. Oh, I want to be like David. Will God deliver me? Well, I don't know about you. I'm going to go. I feel like John of old. Amen. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I want to see him face to face. I want to see him face to face. We have some in our church that talk about, what are you going to do when you see him face to face? What's it going to be like? You're going to shout? You're going to lay down? What are you going to do? I said, you know, my wife and I both, all of our parents are there. All of our uncles are gone and there. We have brothers and sisters that are there. I said, listen, first of all, I want to see him. I want to see this one that sacrificed his soul, his life for my soul. I want to see this one that cried out, oh God, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was willing to go every step of the way. I can't imagine, and I don't try. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was because of the sin he became for you and I. Young people, value Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Value him. Teach me thy way. Lead me. Lead me. David earlier in the psalm said, well, God, lead me into thy truth and teach me. Lead me into the truth and teach me. And they said, well, it's boring. If you think this is boring, you're reading the wrong book. I tell you, this book will excite you. And I wonder, you know, one of these days the word said that there's going to be multitudes of millions that are going to stand before him and cry out, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and praise, for thou hast redeemed us to God. We have one Redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If your parents tried to encourage you to get in church, take it from God and go. I have relatives and friends that have paid the price because they went the other direction. Go with him. Go with him. The writer said, oh, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. I often thought, you know, the quicken me, it means to revive, to make alive, to recover, to restore. I like revivals. People tell you at my church that I'm very loud. I get excited for what I believe in. Somebody said, well, Pastor Hines, so why do you? I don't, when it's God, who cares? But I thought the time that the children of Israel came across the Red Sea, they got on dry land. The word says all the women with their tambourines came down to the edge of the sea and began to sing, the horse and the rider he hath cast into the sea. You talk about a revival. I believe there was a revival down at the Red Sea. Can you imagine the thousands of women singing and praising God for the deliverance that God had wrought in this people? Sometimes we're so stiff we can't hardly say amen once in a while. May God loosen our tongues. As the writer said, you know, first of all, I lift up my hands and praise him. I lift up my hands and praise him. You adults, you need to do the same. You need to do the same. The children are going to live what they see in mom and daddy. Listen, it's not the kids' parents' the responsibility to train us up. It's our responsibility to train them. We have a man in our church that love him dearly, and I love our church. You know, everybody that comes to our church, they're there every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. They're always there. That means a lot to a pastor. We've been praying for two individuals in the church. They're quiet and shy and don't want to move. But I tell you, when they, the power of God is going to saturate their lives, they're going to begin to shout and jump and speak in tongues, and God's going to send us something that we're not ready to receive. We need to be loosed. Loosen our tongues, oh God, to praise you. Loosen, lift up. All the kids that were here this morning, last night, and the adults. I believe that God's heart was rejoicing. And I hope we have the same tonight. Since we may never get another chance, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. I had three sweet kids, loved them to pieces. Not a thing that I wouldn't do for them. Daddy, when are you going to retire and give it up?
Hallelujah! Say, it's not time to quit. We go on with Christ. Why stop now? The coming of the Lord is just around the corner. I can't quit. I can't quit. I can't quit. Jesus called me to serve him. I don't care if I'm 90. I can't quit. I've got to go on and serve Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Thank God for his son. Oh, thank God for Jesus Christ tonight. C.E. Foster pulled into a gas station. He pastored the same church for 70 years. He was 90 years of age. The gas attendant came up to help him and said, well, I guess you're retired now. Oh, son, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not retired. I'm refiring, going on with God. The last time I heard him preach at 91 years of age, picked this up and just began to cry. After 70 years, I've just scratched the surface. 70 years of preaching, I've just scratched the surface. Let's have a song where the song leaders have come. And there are those that need to be filled with the Holy Spirit.